Turn with me to the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. We are studying the eternal hell, and this is part two in our study. I asked a question, I think the last time, and that was 2 weeks ago that we met to study this. I asked you to look and see if you could find where Jesus, when Jesus said that hell is a place where the worm dieth not and the fire's not quenched, where did he get that from? If you know, don't say. Just let me see your hand. I thought you would know. Okay, all right. Rest of you, look in your Bibles and see if you can find where that saying came from. Did it originate with Jesus? Did it come from somewhere? So look and see, okay? Bible teaches us that when a person dies, if they are saved, they go to heaven. And if they're lost, they go to hell. But what is hell? When we say hell, what do we mean? What are we talking about? That's what we're going to talk about tonight. Look with me, Revelation chapter 20, and we're going to begin reading with verse 11. And the Bible says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, God, we thank Thee for this opportunity to gather, and God, Lord, to study Thy Word. And Lord, you know, we really don't appreciate what a privilege and what a joy this freedom is. Lord, I'm afraid that if Jesus tarries much longer, that God, the day may come when we won't have this freedom. God, we won't have this opportunity. So God, help us all to take advantage of it now while we can. Because Lord, if Jesus tarries, certainly, the way this country's headed, the way the world is headed, God, we could very easily lose this right. We ask Thy blessings tonight. We ask You, God, to open our minds and hearts. God, give me the ability to teach in such a way that all can understand. We're dealing, God, with a terrifying subject. God, a horrific subject. But yet, God, one that we need to understand. And God, I pray You'll burden our hearts for those who are lost. I pray You'll burden it so bad that, God, we won't be able to rest until, God, we go out and tell somebody about Jesus. God, have Your way. Glorify Thy Son in Jesus Christ's name. We do pray. Amen.
Amen.
Tonight I want to draw your attention to verse 13 and 14. It says, "And death," now listen to this, "and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire." Now, in verse 14, we have two different references to hell. You have hell. It says death and hell were cast. And you have the lake of fire into the lake of fire. Beloved, listen to me. Both of these are hell. Both of these are hell. Now, how can that be? How can death and hell give up the dead which are in them only to be cast into the lake of fire, into hell? I mean, are there two hells? If so, why? Is it the same hell that it's talking about? That's what we want to talk about tonight. We are studying in this study the eternal hell. But is hell eternal? And if so, which one? Is there more than one? And if so, why would there be more than one? These are the questions that we're going to attempt to answer tonight in our study. Beloved, in the New Testament, there are three words translated hell. And this is where, you know, people say, well, you know, you don't need the Greek. Well, you know, you don't need the Greek, but it helps to study the Word of God. The Bible tells us to study to show thyself approved. And you can find out what these Greek and Hebrew words mean, and it will help you. It will help you. And this is a perfect case. Beloved, in the New Testament, there are three words translated hell. There is the word Hades. And the word Hades in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew, is Sheol. In Hebrew, it's Sheol. In the New Testament, in the Greek, it is Hades. It's the same place, same place. There is also the New Testament word Gehenna. Gehenna, just like Hades, is translated hell. And then there's another word found only one time in the Bible, in the book of Jude, and that's the word Tartarus. Now, the word Tartarus is translated hell. But it seems, beloved, as you read that scripture, it seems to be a special place, or maybe a special part of hell reserved for the angels that left their first habitation. What do we mean by that? The angels back in Noah's day, remember? That sin, that's what that seems to be in reference to. So the two words that we're interested in is the word Hades and the word Gehenna. Both are translated hell. Now, both, beloved, are places of fire and torment. Both, beloved, are the abode of those who are lost. The difference is that one, now follow me, one is temporary and the other is eternal. Is eternal. Somebody says, whoa, preacher, you're saying that hell is temporary. No, I'm saying that Hades, which is translated hell, beloved, is temporary. But temporary only for a brief time. Then those there in Hades are cast into the eternal hell, which is the lake of fire or Gehenna. Did I confuse you? All right. The temporary hell is like a holding. Hades is like a holding. But if you're not confused yet, hang on, because I'm an equal opportunity person and I confuse everybody sooner or later, okay? All right. So let's look at these two hells and let's see how they relate. First, beloved, let's look at Hades or Sheol in the Hebrew. Beloved, in both the Old and New Testament, Hades or Sheol, listen to me, was the place of the departed dead. In other words, beloved, when a person died, they all went to Hades. And there they waited for the resurrection. Now, somebody says, preacher, when you say all, do you mean all? Do you mean the righteous and the unrighteous? Do you mean the believers and the unbelievers? That's exactly what I mean. They all, when they died, went to Hades. When a person died in the Old Testament, and listen to me, in the beginning of the New Testament, they all went to Hades, which is translated hell, the place of the departed dead. That's what Sheol means. That's what Hades means. The place of the departed dead. But here's the thing. Hades or hell was divided at that time. It was divided. In other words, beloved, if I got a thing here, here's Hades. Here's two people. Forgive my drawing, okay? I'll make this one a girl. We'll let the girl go to heaven, okay? Girl dies, she goes to heaven. Excuse me, I'm sorry. We're not talking about now. We're talking about back then. All right? Girl dies, she goes to Hades. She's a righteous person. Man dies, he goes to Hades. He, beloved, is an unbeliever. But here's the thing. There was a gulf that separated Hades, the place of the departed dead. And beloved, on one side was paradise, Abraham's bosom. On the other side of Hades, the place of the departed dead, there was some place called nothing but hell. And it was a place of torment. Do you understand? Girl dies, she's righteous. She goes to Hades, to this side. Man dies, he's unbeliever. He's a sinner. He doesn't believe in God, in Christ. He doesn't obey God. He down here. But they're in the same place, only divided. Only divided. Beloved, on one side was a place called paradise or Abraham's bosom. On the other side was a place of fire and torment that was only known as hell. And these two, beloved, were divided by a great gulf. Now, those who believed God would die. They would lay down their physical bodies and they would open their eyes in paradise, in comfort. Those who did not believe God, the wicked, beloved, they would die and open their eyes in torment, in the torment side of Hades. And both, listen, both would abide there in their prospective places until the resurrection. The believer in comfort, the unbeliever in torment. Beloved, Hades is the place that Jesus described in Luke chapter 16. Turn in your Bibles there. In Luke 16, beloved, Jesus gives us the account of two men who died. One named Lazarus, and he was a beggar and a righteous man, and another known as the rich man, a sinner, an unbeliever. Now look with me at Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. Give me a minute to find it. Luke 16, beginning with verse 19. Listen to what it says. Jesus speaking. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, Hades, he lift up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. Listen, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from hence. Now, first let me say this. Beloved, this is not a parable. It is not a parable. This is an actual account of two actual men. How do you know that, preacher? Well, because first of all, beloved, whenever Jesus spoke a parable, the Bible makes it plain it is a parable, either by word or by context. It makes it plain. Second, beloved, the Lord never gives names to the characters in parables. But here, beloved, the beggar has a name. What's his name? Lazarus. Lazarus, this is an actual person. Jesus is giving us a glimpse. This is a rare thing. He's given us a glimpse on the other side of death, beloved, as it was in his day. Here are two actual people who actually lived, who actually died. Both, beloved, went to Hades, to the place of the departed dead, but one went to the paradise side and the other to the torment side. Now, notice with me verse 22 and 23 again. We're going to read it again. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this fire, in this flame. All right, both died. Lazarus was taken by the angels to the bosom of Abraham. Verse 22 tells us that. And beloved, that was paradise. He is comforted. The rich man died, but he opened his eyes in torment. What kind of torment? Fire. Verse 24, I am tormented in this flame. Now, somebody says, preacher, I just don't believe there's literal fire in hell. I believe it's symbolic. Listen to me. You better hope it's not symbolic. You better pray it's not symbolic. You say, why, preacher? Because, beloved, when something is symbolized in the Bible by something else, listen to me. Beloved, the symbol is never as good as what it symbolizes. The symbol is never as bad as what it symbolizes. Do you understand? What I'm telling you is, beloved, if fire is just a symbol, then whatever it symbolizes is far, far worse, far, far more tormenting, more painful, and more awful than literal fire is. I personally believe it's God's fire. I personally believe that. But beloved, if it's symbolic, let me tell you, it's symbolizing something that is worse than fire. That's worse than fire. Now, are these two, Lazarus and the rich man, are they in the same place? Yes. Listen, beloved, the rich man can see Lazarus afar off. Amen? And he can talk to, not to Lazarus. The Bible didn't tell he talks to Lazarus. I don't know that Lazarus could hear him, but he talks to Abraham, you know. And Abraham talks to him. Beloved, so they are in the same place. That place is Hades, but that place is divided by a great gulf. On one side is comfort in Abraham's bosom. On the other side is torment in fire. Now, that's how it was in the Old Testament. And that's how it was when Jesus walked this earth. Everyone who died went to Hades. Either the comfort side because they believed and trusted God, or the torment side because, beloved, they didn't believe and didn't trust God. And there, beloved, they waited. They waited for their prospective resurrection. Turn in your Bibles, John chapter 5. John chapter 5. Now listen to this. John chapter 5, Jesus speaking, verse 28 and 29. Jesus said, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. What does all mean? Means all, don't it? All right. And shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. You see, there is a resurrection of life for the saved, but there is also a resurrection of damnation for the lost, and they do not occur at the same time. They don't occur at the same time. So saved and lost alike waited in Hades until their specific resurrection. Some in comfort, many in torment. In torment. Now, that's how it was until Jesus rose from the dead. Amen. Until Jesus rose from the dead. Beloved, when Jesus died on the cross, he went to Hades, to hell. But he went to the paradise side. Now, what did he tell the dying thief as he was hanging on that cross? Today thou shalt be with me, where? In paradise. He's talking about that comfort side of Hades. He went to the paradise side of Hades, to those who had believed God and trusted in the Messiah who was to come. He got there. Guess who he saw? He saw Lazarus. He saw David. He saw Abraham. He saw all these Old Testament saints who had died, trusting in him that was to come. That was to come. And what did he do there? For those 3 days while his body was in the tomb, beloved, what did he do? He preached. He preached. Look in 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3 verses 18 and 19. Listen to this. For Christ also hath once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Listen. By which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. Beloved, he preached. Now, I believe he preached to both sides. I believe he preached to those who were looking for him and said, oh, you had faith, and here you see your faith unveiled. You see the Messiah. You see the one who came and died for your sin. I believe he preached to those, beloved, on the other side there. And he said, oh, look at me. If you'd have believed, if you'd have just believed, you could have been saved too. He preached to those in prison. You say, why do you believe he preached to both sides? The next verse, it says, and besides, I've done lost my place. But the next verse tells us, let me turn back real quick if I can. And I can't find it. Anybody still there? Yeah. Read the next verse.
1 Peter.
Huh?
Yeah. Which sometime were disobedient, and once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing wherein few, that is, 8 souls were saved by water.
Yeah. So he preached to those, beloved, who were sometimes disobedient. He preached to those who were on the paradise side, to those who were on the other side. These were captive. They were captive in that place. They were in comfort, but they were captive. And beloved, so he preached to those in captive that were captive. But that's not all. Turn to your Bibles, Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 8 through 10. Listen to this. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it? But that he also descended first unto the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above the heavens, that he might fill all things. Did you get that? Beloved, listen. He that ascended was also him that descended. That descended. In other words, beloved, not only did the Lord preach to them, but he led captivity captive. In other words, beloved, those who were on that paradise side, he moved. He took them up and he moved paradise from Hades to where? To heaven. To heaven. We know that now, when a Christian dies, they are immediately with the Lord. They don't go to Hades anymore. They go, beloved, where he is. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. So where is Jesus? He says, I go to prepare a place for you. So where is Jesus now? He's in the Father's house. Amen. And beloved, Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen. So when we die as Christians, where do we go? Heaven. To heaven. To heaven. So now, after the Lord's resurrection, Hades is only inhabited by the lost, beloved. It is a place of fire. It is a place of torment. Now, beloved, the saved, the believers are all in the presence of the Lord. And all those who are lost are in Hades. The rich man, he's still there in Hades. He's still burning. And they wait. They wait. Unbelievers in the torment of Hades and hell. Believers in the presence of Christ. Beloved, they are waiting for the resurrection. The resurrection. And that brings us to the other hell. Gehenna. Gehenna is the eternal hell. It's also called the lake of fire. Now, how do the lost get from Hades to Gehenna? And what exactly is Gehenna? All right? Let's look at what it is first. Beloved, Jesus preached on Gehenna many, many times. It was Gehenna, translated hell, that Jesus spake of when he said, if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. Because it's better to lose a hand than to be cast into hell, Gehenna. He said, if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. Because it's better to be maimed than it is to be cast into hell, to Gehenna. He said, if thy eye offend thee, pluck it out. Because it's better to have one eye than to be cast into Gehenna. Hell. Hell. But what is Gehenna? Now follow me close, because I don't want you to misunderstand. Actually, Gehenna is a word picture of the eternal hell. It is a word picture of the eternal hell. Beloved, if it was used by Jesus, it was designed to paint a picture in the minds of his Jewish hearers of the eternal, everlasting hell. Okay? Let me explain. You see, Gehenna was a reference to the Valley of Hinnom. On the east side of Jerusalem, beloved, between Jerusalem and the Mount of Olives, you've got the Kidron Valley, just outside the wall. On the south side of Jerusalem, you've got, beloved, another valley that runs this way and joins the Kidron. That valley on the south side is called the Valley of Hinnom. And let me tell you, the Valley of Hinnom, beloved, has a terrible reputation. I mean terrible. Let me explain. Beloved, in Old Testament times, the Valley of Hinnom was used as the place where people would offer their children to Moloch, the idol. See, they had a huge metal image of Moloch. And this image had a huge belly. And beloved, in that belly was hollow, but there was a big hole in the front of that belly. And what they would do in worshiping Moloch is they would build a fire under that metal image. And they would wait until that image was red hot. You know, when I was a boy, I remember many school mornings. Mom would have that heater going in the heater room. And brother, she burned that coal. And man, the top of that heater would get cherry red. Any of y'all remember anything like that? Cherry red. And beloved, that's what they do. They get that image cherry red, and then they take their children and they would throw them through that hole into that belly of that image and burn to death their own children. And the children would scream and scream. Oh, let me tell you, Gehenna was known for its suffering and its pain and its torment and its agony and its screams. It was later on, beloved, in Jesus' day, it became the place of refuge for the city of Jerusalem. And I'm not saying refuge with a G, refuge. I mean, it was a trash dump. See, beloved, it was right outside the dung gate. And that was the gate that all Jerusalem, beloved, would take their trash through. And they would dump it into the Valley of Hinnom. And beloved, that valley, listen, it was always, always burning. Always burning. There was always fire and smoke in that valley. And that's also where, beloved, they would throw the dead bodies of the poor and the strangers. They would throw them, and there in the open, beloved, they would rot and decay. That was the Valley of Hinnom. And Jesus, beloved, used that valley. He used the name of that place for the name of the everlasting hell. He said, this is what it is. He said, it was always burning. It was always a place of stench and death and decay. And that's the way it was in Jesus' day. So this place, known for its wickedness, known, beloved, for its screams and its torment and its agony, known for its fire and ruin, was the place Jesus used to describe the eternal hell. The eternal hell. See, Hades was a spiritual place. It was a place where the spirit or the soul went. You understand what I'm saying? It was a spiritual prison. It was a place where when a person died, their body went to the grave, but their soul, the spirit, went to Hades, to hell. But beloved, listen, this place, this eternal hell, Gehenna, or the lake of fire, listen, it is a place for the body and the soul. Jesus said in Matthew 10 verse 28, he said, fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell, Gehenna. Gehenna. So Gehenna is a place where both soul and body will suffer eternal damnation. Damnation. By the way, the word destroy in Matthew 10, beloved, does not mean annihilation or extinction. It means ruin. That's what that word destruction means. It means loss, not of being, but of well-being. It's to destroy utterly, to perish utterly, but not to cease to exist. The word is apolemy. And Vine's Expository Dictionary says it means to give over to eternal misery. Eternal misery. So you got two hells. Hades, a temporary hell. Gehenna, the eternal hell. A person who is lost dies. Their body goes to the grave. His soul, beloved, he opens his eyes in torment in Hades. He dwells in Hades where there is pain and torment and thirst and agony until the resurrection of damnation takes place. But beloved, when will that take place? At the end of the millennium. At the end of the millennium. Turn back to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. When we get to chapter 20, beloved, the millennium is coming to an end. And it ends about verse 10, to tell you the truth. And beloved, then comes the great white throne judgment. The great white throne. That's why, look, and I'm not going to read it again, but that's why John, beloved, saw death and hell. Deliver up the dead which were in them. Death speaks of the body, beloved. Hell speaks of the soul, of the spirit. That dead body and that spirit are reunited to stand before that great white throne. And in both, body and soul are cast into the lake of fire, into Gehenna. Do you understand? Everybody see that? Everybody see that? All right. He dwells in Hades until the end of the millennium. And then, beloved, there is the resurrection of damnation that Jesus taught, where the lost are raised. And that's why John sees death and hell. Death is the body, giving up the body. Hell is giving up the soul. Hades is giving up the soul, beloved. Just as the resurrection of the righteous, beloved, the dead in Christ shall rise and receive an immortal what? Body, a glorified body. Amen? Beloved, that soul that's with the Lord, when the resurrection happens, when the rapture happens, the dead in Christ shall rise, we that are alive will be caught up. Beloved, those who are dead in Christ, their soul that's with the Lord now is going to reunite with that body in a glorified body. See, they got to have a body fit for heaven, amen? Amen. They got to have, because flesh and blood cannot, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. They got to have a glorified body. Now, what's the outcome? All right, they got to have a body for heaven. So next, beloved, so must the unsaved dead be resurrected. Their bodies resurrected. Their soul that is in Hades be reunited. They had to have a body fit for hell, as we had to have one fit for heaven. You see, eternity is about to begin. Amen?
Amen.
Have I lost you? Are y'all sleeping on me? No. All right. It's about to begin. We're going to need glorified bodies, beloved, as we enter eternity to enjoy the blessings of heaven forever. Beloved, the lost, beloved, are entering eternity too. Only it will be an eternity of torment. So they are resurrected and given a body fit for hell. That will suffer in Gehenna forever. That will never burn up. That will never be consumed by the fire. Do you see that? Death speaks of the body's resurrection. Hell speaks of where their soul is. Body and soul of the lost, beloved, is joined together again. They are judged before the great white throne judgment. What's the outcome of that judgment? Well, first, this is the resurrection of damnation. So we know it ain't going to be good. Amen? All right. So all those before the throne are what?
Lost.
They are lost. The Bible says the books are opened, and every man is judged according to their works. Beloved, they've been in Hades in torment for who knows how long. Lazarus, say it would happen tonight. 2,000 years he's been in Hades. He's brought out of Hades and he's united with his body and he's standing before God, and God opens the books and he reads his works. Did I say Lazarus? I meant the rich man. The rich man. And beloved, when they hear their works, they know, oh God, I deserve. I deserve hell. And I think there's going to be weeping and wailing even before they're cast into the lake of fire. Oh, but listen, yes, I deserve it, but if your name's written in the book of life, that means your sinful works have been paid for. So check the book, Lord. Check the book of life. But none there. None there. Are written in that book. In that book. And the Bible says, whosoever name was not found written in the book of life is cast into the lake of fire. Gehenna. Gehenna. Look at verse 14. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. Body and soul cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. The second death. This is the place, Gehenna, where Jesus said, where the fire is not quenched and the worm dieth not. The worm dieth not. This is the eternal hell, folks. From here, there is nothing else. There is nothing else. No pardon, no second chance, nothing else. Preacher, are they burned up? No. It's eternity now. It's eternity. They're in eternity now. And eternity goes on and on and on and on, right? Okay, look at Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. Look at verse 20. Listen to this. This is at the end of the battle of Armageddon. Listen to what it says. And the beast was taken. Who is the beast? Antichrist. And the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image, these both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. Okay? So, at the end of the battle of Armageddon, false prophet, Antichrist are cast into the lake of fire, Gehenna. 1,000 years passes. The millennium. 1,000 years passes. Now look at verse 10. Do you know you go verse 10, 1,000 years passes. Look at verse 10. It's at the end of the millennium now. 1,000 years. And it says, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. Listen. Where the beast and false prophet are. They're still there. They've been there 1,000 years. And they're still there. And it says, and he shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Beloved, the devil is tormented day and night forever and ever in Gehenna. So are those who stand before the great white throne and are cast into the eternal hell day and night forever and ever. Does anybody have any questions or comments? Have I utterly confused you?
So when Jesus rose from the grave, that's when he took the souls on the paradise side. And correct me if I'm wrong, don't the Bible say that spirits were seen?
Yep.
Okay. Is that what that was?
Many of the Old Testament saints were seen. I believe so. I don't know exactly how that works. And Keith talked about that before. I don't know exactly how it worked. The Bible doesn't tell us that I know of. But many of the Old Testament saints were seen during that time.
I've got something. Almost seems silly. But apparently spirits have tongues.
Yeah.
You know, because...
And eyes. Because he lift up his eyes, being in torment.
Exactly.
Yeah. 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 And they thirst.
Yeah.
Somehow or another. I don't know how, but they do. There's so many things we don't know about the spiritual realm. So many things we don't understand. Okay, any questions? Comments? All right. The worm dieth not. See if you can find that verse or find where Jesus... where Jesus got that from. And see if you can figure out what it means.
So did he get it from the Old Testament then?
Huh?
I'm
going to go ahead and tell you, yes, in the Old Testament. It's in the Old Testament. He was quoting an Old Testament passage. Okay. All right.